Guys, in our Candles of Advent series, we discover the prophet's candle, which represents hope. The prophet spoke to us of the coming of Christ, the arrival, the hope that exists today, and the hope that is unfinished. Then there was Bethlehem's candle, which represents faith and the different faith lessons that God taught to Mary and Joseph, especially in their time in Bethlehem. Then the shepherd's candle, which represents joy. Not just any old joy, but great joy. And this morning, we light the angel's candle, which for us will represent peace. So I invite you to take your Bibles with me, and if you have your insert, all across our country, and probably across our world, people are looking for things like world peace. You hear that talked about a lot. People are looking for peace of mind, or to give you a piece of their mind. People are looking for peace and quiet, someone to keep the peace. How about just a peaceful Christmas? We're looking for peace. But what I've discovered is that what is supposed to be a season of peace, when we find ourselves at Christmas time, it can be anything but peaceful, and battles and conflict can abound. I was reminded of the need for peace last week when I was reading the latest newsletter from our missionaries to Papua New Guinea, the Smiths. And they work in the jungle around tribes and villages, and they've done this for many, many years. And this is part of what was in their latest newsletter. Our whole community has been in a state of warfare as the consequences of the young man being murdered continue to brew and simmer, bringing more violence and attacks. All the young men in four village areas were on alert for tribal conflict. War was in the air. The young men were all gathered in their men houses, leaving the women and children at home so they can be alert and ready for battle if the enemy came. In each of the four affected areas, the men and boys were armed with huge, sharp machetes and bows and arrows, ready and on alert for attack. It doesn't sound very peaceful. And I'm hoping that that's nothing like your neighborhood or your workplace, but we still face challenges to our peace today. Families are in conflict, relationships can be strained, school can be full of drama. Social media drama, for that matter. The job can be overwhelming. Illness, finances, the schedule is so crazy in your life. And you would say that life is anything but tranquil at times, anything but peaceful. And I really believe that people of all ages and seasons of life are occasionally stressed out. And maybe you find yourself there. And in contrast to what the carol says, Silent Night, all is not always calm and all is not always bright. It's the case we find ourselves in. People are looking for peace inside and out. And this is why the angel's candle deserves our consideration today, because there's a phrase in the scripture that goes like this: people cry, peace, peace, but there is no peace. And even as we try to put on a happy face and we try to smile and be nice to people, sometimes on the outside we smile, peace, peace, but on the inside it's not going so well. So I invite you to turn with me to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, we're going to pick up in verse 13 in just a moment. But Luke chapter 2, as we look again at a familiar text, and as you draw your attention there to Luke 2, let me give you a heads up for the background of the text as we move into verse 13. Leading up to verse 13, an angel has appeared to some shepherds announcing to them the good news and the arrival of the Messiah. We looked at this last week. And in verse 12, the birth location and identification is given, and then it's time for the angelic ensemble to show up in verse 13. So follow with me as we read, starting in verse 13. Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." As I read these verses this past week, immediately what came to my mind was a very deep theological thought: Charlie Brown's Christmas. Where Charlie Brown is trying to direct them and get them ready for the show, and he says, "What is Christmas all about?" And Linus steps up and reads or quotes these verses as his answer to that question: what is Christmas all about? It's interesting to note in Luke chapter 2, it takes only one angel to announce the birth of Jesus, but yet a whole army is necessary to point us to the implications of his arrival. What is that all about? Well, there's a key to understanding these two verses, and in verse 14 in particular. Here's the key that we'll focus on the rest of our time. The key to understanding verse 14. Here it is: glory to God and peace to us. Glory to God and peace to us. God is worthy of our glory and worship and awe and honor and respect. He's worthy to receive those things. And this glory that we give to God is connected to Christmas because the greatest manifestation of God's glory is in the birth of his Son, Jesus Christ. John reminds us of this. He says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then the Word, Jesus Christ, became flesh and made his dwelling among us." And he says, "And we have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." So when Jesus Christ came, he was a representation of the glory of God. And that began at Christmas time, at least coming in the flesh for us. And because of Christ, our glory should be ascending up to God. And in response of us to us giving glory to God, he descends on us with peace through Jesus Christ. And this peace spreads everywhere where this child is received. Glory to God, peace to us. You can't separate the two. You know why? Number one, because the verse doesn't allow us to do it. And number two, the angels didn't. They kept those two things together. And unfortunately, sometimes we want peace, but we don't want to give glory to God. If we don't give glory to God, folks, we're not going to get peace. Or we want peace in our lives, but we don't want to recognize Jesus Christ. But without Christ, there really is no peace. John Piper said, "If we want peace to rule in our lives, then God must rule in our lives." Receiving glory, as you know, is important to God, but dispensing peace to us is a priority for him as well. It really is. So I want to spend the rest of our time together this morning looking at three relationships of peace that God wants us to experience this Christmas. And they're all relevant for us. But three relationships of peace that God wants us to experience at Christmas. Here's the first one: peace with God. Peace with God. And this first peace relationship is foundational in order to really properly experience the next two. And to correctly understand what peace with God means at Christmas, let's look again at Luke 2:14. But I want to look at it in three different translations, and I'll explain to you why we're going to do that. But you may not know this. Let me just clue you in on this, that Luke chapter 2 and verse 14 has been one of the most hotly debated verses over the centuries. It has. So let's look at it in three different translations. The first one is the King James Version. It says, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." This particular translation of Luke 2:14 has been seen as the least reflective of the original manuscripts for a couple reasons. Number one, there are some Greek grammar concerns that we're not going to go into because your eyelids will all flutter and I'll lose you. But the second reason, and probably a little bit even more prominent, is the inference in this passage that God distributes his peace and goodwill to all mankind with no stipulations. But that's not what this verse is saying. In the English Standard Version, the ESV, it says this, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he or God is pleased." So the peace is for those with whom God is pleased. So now we see a stipulation. And then in the NIV, it says, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom God's favor rests." So the peace is for those on whom his favor rests. So what does this mean? Well, let me share a verse that's directly related to this. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. "Therefore, since we have been justified, declared righteous, forgiven of our sins through faith, we have," what? "Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Here's what I want to say to you. God offers peace to everyone, but it only rests on those who receive it by faith. That's what that verse means. If we want to have peace with God, we need to recognize Jesus Christ is the only way that we can have peace with God, and then God's peace rests on us. But what we do is we try to find other things to bring us peace with God that really doesn't, they don't satisfy, they don't match. We try to have relationships with people and bring lots of fun and happy people in our lives, which is wonderful, but ultimately, can they ever forgive you of your sins and restore your relationship with God? No. We try to replace that peace with stuff. There are some kids and maybe older kids and adults that are looking forward to 2 days from now because they think that the gift will give them peace. I remember as a parent, I thought that would work at least for a couple hours with the kids, till it either broke, or I put it together wrong, or the batteries didn't last, and everything was closed. I remember when our kids were young, it's not been that long ago, but nothing was open. Now you can go get batteries, but back then you're just like, you're just going to have to push it. I'm sorry, it's not open until tomorrow. And what you thought would bring peace, if I have just a little bit more money in the bank, I'll have peace. Maybe in peace with God. No, you won't. You'll just have a little bit more money in the bank. But you won't be forgiven. The writer of Luke 2:14 is the gospel writer Luke. And later on, in chapter 10 of his same gospel, he gives us some insight on what it means to receive and rest in God's peace. Let me read for you a couple of verses from Luke 10. I'm just going to read them for you. These are the words of Jesus. He gives these words of instruction to his disciples. He had about 70 of them. He had a larger group of disciples. He had 70 disciples that he sent out two by two into the neighboring towns to tell people about the kingdom. And he said, when you go, here's some instructions. He said, when you enter a house, first say, peace to this house, so you offer the peace. And then it says, if someone who promotes peace is there, they receive it, your peace will rest on them. If not, it will return to you. In other words, God offers peace to everyone, but it only rests on those who receive it by faith. So I don't know where all of you are in your relationship with peace with God, but if you don't have it, he offers it, but you must receive it by faith in Jesus Christ. It's not just a blanket statement, Charlie Brown, goodwill and peace and goodwill to all men. It's not the case. Because the Bible clearly teaches this. If you receive the peacemaker, you receive the peace. That's what the Bible clearly teaches. Is it that easy? Yes. But keep in mind, peace always comes at a cost. Always. Peace always costs something. Romans chapter 5, verse 10. For if, while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? My peace, your peace, cost God his Son. You believe in it, you receive the peace, but it costs something. Glory to God, peace to us. So what does that look like? Glory ascending is this. I give glory to God for the person of Jesus Christ who forgave me of my sins. I humbly admit to God my need for a peacemaker. That brings him glory. And what's the peace that descends? I am no longer an enemy of God. I am no longer in conflict with God. I'm a child of God. I'm a friend of God. I'm at peace with God. That's the very first relationship God wants all of you in this room to experience. Peace with Him through Jesus Christ. And it starts with giving Him the glory that He provided Jesus, and then He sends you the peace. Peace with God is the first peace relationship that He wants you to experience at Christmas. The second one is this: peace with yourself. Peace with yourself. And I struggled a little bit with this title, because I thought some of you would think I'm going into like a counseling session with a little love seat in the couch, and you're laying, I just need to love yourself and be at peace with yourself. It's not really where I'm going. But I do believe that God desires for us to be at peace with ourselves. And here's why. Within each and every one of us, there's a battle that goes on almost a daily basis. Here's the battle within each of us, to some degree or another, either today or tomorrow or will happen. We face sadness or worry or stress or discouragement or depression or anxiety or despair or loneliness or rejection. And the list goes on. And we battle these things within our hearts and our minds. And to be honest, you would say to somebody, if you had a good relationship with them, I'm just tired. I'm worn out. And I'm not really at peace with myself. And think about it this way. We all have a prosecuting attorney that lives inside our head, who brings up some excellent arguments of why you shouldn't have peace. He has a list, and he's so convincing. And he argues them to you on an almost daily basis. And when he gets done, you say, I can't handle this. Or I feel overwhelmed, whether it's a family situation or just raising kids or my job or whatever. You're like, I'm overwhelmed, and this is going to do me in. And you end up asking yourself under your breath, where is my peace? You believe you have peace with God. It's not a matter of forgiveness. You're just not at peace with yourself. I'm like, what am I going to do with this? Is this something that God wants me to experience, or is there something else? Well, look at these verses with me. When we talk about peace with ourselves, Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. This is talking to people who have a relationship with God. God says this through the Apostle Paul, do not be anxious about anything. And I know some of you in your mind are saying this, yeah, right. See, you're quiet there because you don't want to just give it away that you actually think that sometimes. But you say, yeah, right. But in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And what happens? And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. You know what these verses are saying? When we have difficulties, when we have stress, when we're lacking a little bit of peace, and we need some peace in our lives, we need to roll out our case before God. Instead of listening to the prosecuting attorney, we need to roll out our case to God and say, God, here's all my stuff. I love the fact that the Bible teaches that God will take all our stuff. He really will. It says in another part of the Bible, cast your cares upon God, cast your anxieties upon God because He cares for you. It's a picture of taking all your stuff and just throwing it on God. Is this too heavy, God? Oh, you got it? Okay, all right. I got to take some back. Peace is giving it to God. Struggling with peace is taking it all back or holding on to it. And He says, roll it out to God. And when you roll that out to God, here's what happens. It says, the peace of God which transcends all understanding. That's an interesting phrase. Transcends means to surpass. Here's what it literally means. God's peace always surpasses your reasons. The reasons you all have in your list, or that the attorney uses against you to take away your peace, God's peace always surpasses that list. And this may sound a little bit strange, but here's what it literally means. God's peace is above reason. Wait a second, that doesn't make sense. What do you mean it's above reason? Yeah, you will not always be able to figure it out, but it's there. It says it transcends all understanding. Well, I don't really understand it. You don't have to understand it. You just need to ask for it, and He'll give it to you. roll it out to him. And then the end of that verse, verse 7, when it says guard your hearts and minds, it's talking about a soldier setting a watch to protect something. God sends a watch over your heart and your mind to keep peace in your life. That's what he wants to do. Here's the phrase I want to give you. God invites you to forward your anxiety to him as he defends your peace. Christianity is not Christmas time without conflict or without stress or without trouble or without those kinds of things, without illness. Christianity is peace at Christmas because God will take it from you. Take all those stress, all the anxiety, he'll take that from you and give you his peace. That's the difference. It's not that we don't have any struggles. We just have different options. I wrote this particular statement with the word forward on purpose because it was what would trigger it in my mind. It may not trigger it in yours, but let me share what happened in my mind. Occasionally, I'll get an email where someone has a problem. It's not really a bad problem, or they have an issue, and it needs to be dealt with. The ones I love to get are the ones that I can't fix, but the ones I can forward to somebody else. Do you have a key to that? No, but someone else does. Do you know how to fix that? No, but he does. Do you know how to do that? No, but she does. I love doing that. Because the moment I forward that, phew, peace comes back. The longer I hold on to those emails, the less peace I have. When things enter your life, God's like, just forward them to me. Forward them to me. And then when you do that, I'm going to defend your peace. How are you doing at defending your own peace? I don't do very well. I just create more stress for myself. I stress out trying to keep myself peaceful. Some of you in a weird universe that I live in understand that. The key, glory to God, peace to us. Here's how it works. Glory ascending. God, you are the sovereign Lord of the universe and complete and control of my life. I will give you glory for whatever unfolds in my life. I will seek to give you glory as I allow you to defend my peace. And as Max Lucado said in his book, Anxious for Nothing, I will anchor my heart to the character of God. Glory ascending. And then what happens? Peace descending. God sends the peace. Unexplainable, but listen to me, undeniable. Unexplainable, but undeniable. Isaiah said this, God will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in him. Peace with yourselves. I shared that verse with Fern Richmond this week. Fern is approaching the end of her life here on this earth. And as I shared that verse with her, she said to me, you know what? God's the only hope we have. She's preaching a little sermon to me. How could she do that, knowing that her days are numbered? I'll tell you how. She's at peace with herself. She's forwarding a bunch of stuff to God. I love this hymn. Used to sing it in the locker room before we went out to soccer games in college. We sang hymns in our team because we were at Christian college. We thought it'd help us play better. Didn't always work. But here's what we sang in the locker room before we went onto the field, because we thought it might not intimidate the secular schools that much if we sang it on the field. We sang, like a river glorious is God's perfect peace, over all victorious in its bright increase. Perfect yet it floweth, fully every day. Perfect yet it groweth, deeper all the way. Stayed upon Jehovah, hearts are fully blessed, finding as he promised, perfect peace and rest. Can you be at peace with yourself this time of year? Yes, as you roll these things to God. Glory ascending. You're in control. You're in charge. I trust your promises. I'm not even going to try to put it all together, and descends on you with his peace. There's one more relationship of peace I think God desires for us to experience at Christmas. Peace with Him, peace with yourself, and then, of course, peace with others. This peace is often tested at the holidays. Let's just be brutally honest here. Now, you may sit here and you're like, oh, no, we have Thomas Kincaid Christmases all the time. What, you know, okay, fine. That's fine. I get it. And Lord bless you, really. Lord bless you. Family and friends, you get together and, you know, chestnuts are roasting on an open fire and all that kind of stuff. But it's not always the case for everybody at Christmas time. Sometimes family holiday gatherings are difficult, even awkward. The people who disrupted your peace in the past seem poised to do it again. And these strained relationships, listen to me, these strained relationships can include friends, coworkers, neighbors, or even the less than helpful cashier at Walmart. As I was thinking about this idea of peace with others, this stuff kind of, you know, is going around in my mind as I'm out and about. And yesterday I was out with Pam. We were doing some shopping. Why? I'm not sure, because it was really crowded yesterday. But I was thinking about this peace with others thing. And we were at Wegmans, and we were at the self-checkout, and this lady, nice lady, came over to help us. And as she was coming over to help us, she was talking to us a little bit. And then she just took one step back, and just not anything sudden. And then there was an older gentleman just kind of beelining behind her, and she stepped back, and he's like, "You're going to run into me." She's like, "Oh, okay." So we just let him go by, and we peacefully went on our way. And then another thing that happened in Walmart is, Pam didn't even see this, she was pushing the cart, and then there was a lady in front of us that was pushing a cart, and we had some separation between us, but she caught her shoe on the floor and tripped a little bit. Well, she looked back at Pam with daggers because she thought Pam had rammed her in the back of her foot. And I'm thinking, okay, I got a choice here. Peace with others or bring it on. And the woman, she stopped staring at Pam. Pam had no idea, and she kept going. But I know she was not happy because she thought, you know, my lovely wife had just rammed in the back of her foot. And I wanted to say, no, you're just clumsy. All those things are swirling through my mind, but I don't say it. Partly because this morning I had to get up and say, peace with others. And we laugh about these things, but the reality is there are times when people are going to annoy us. Family's going to be difficult. Relationship's going to be hard, even at Christmas time. Amen? But God wants us to experience peace with others. And you're like, but really? Yes, let's look at a verse together. Romans chapter 12, verse 18. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. John Piper calls this verse wonderfully realistic. But I want you to know that the Apostle Paul is not saying that peace is impossible. But notice that he rather focuses the attention on what you and I can do to attain peace. That's the focus. We need to focus on the things that we can control. So what does that look like, that live at peace with others? Well, here's what it looks like for me. Do what you can to promote peace with others by being motivated by what has been done to you by God. Do what you can to promote peace with others by being motivated by what has been done to you by God. And you say, what does that look like practically? Does that really even work in Walmart or at our family Christmas party or when everybody comes over? Does it even work? It does. Because in Ephesians chapter 4, let me read two verses for you with a little bit of a separation. Ephesians chapter 4 says this to us in relationships. Get rid of all bitterness and rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Does that verse sound very peaceful to you? Yes or no? Not very peaceful. But we have moments where we struggle with some of these things. But then he goes on to say, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. So this is how it works. God has been kind to you and to me. God has been compassionate to me on a daily basis and to you as well. God has forgiven me and he has forgiven you. So when the lady shoots the daggers back in Walmart, I maybe need to cut her some slack. Why? Because of what Jesus Christ has done for me, what God does for me on a daily basis. And then I can have peace with others, even in the midst of this. Glory to God, peace to us. What does this third one look like? Here's the glory ascending. God, I give you glory for your kindness, your compassion, and your forgiveness. That's the glory ascending. You with me? You're giving that glory to God. And then the peace descending is that God gives us the peace that we need to be at peace with other people. I wrote down in my notes, the peace descending from God is this. It forfeits my perceived right not to offer it to other people. Things like forgiveness and kindness. It forfeits that right of mine. And this peace floods my soul, battles the conflict, and calls for me to have peace with other people. I'm not saying I do it perfectly, but there's a battle there that God wants to win through us as we have peace with other people. These three relationships will impact your Christmas and beyond. It really will. And it goes back to Luke chapter 2, verse 14. If you still have your Bibles open, let's read that one more time. Thinking about those three relationships. Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests. So, God, for your glory, I receive your offer of peace. And if you've not done that, see me right afterwards. I'd love to lead you into a relationship with Jesus Christ and be at peace with God. For your glory, I receive your offer of peace. I also rely on your peace for every single day that I live. Peace with myself. I rely on that. And then thirdly, I release your peace to other people. I need to do that. I release your peace to other people. Let me give you three application questions just to think about. Number one, what have you done with God's offer of peace with him through Jesus Christ? I know we say this often, but it's so very, very important. You will not be able to sustain any kind of relationship with peace with other people or yourself until you begin with a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. So what have you done with Jesus at Christmas time? Have you received God's offer of peace? Secondly, listen. What do you need to forward to God this Christmas that is affecting peace with yourself? What is still in your inbox that you need to forward to God, that's causing you to be disrupted in your own spirit? And then the third applicational question, what do you need to do differently this Christmas to promote peace with others? It shouldn't be a badge of honor if you are considered Scrooge and you know Jesus. Bah humbug should not be your tagline. Be at peace with others. Why don't you stand with me this morning? I'm going to close with a song. If you know it, I invite you to sing it along with me. It's from the book of Deuteronomy. It's a beautiful reminder of God's peace. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and give you peace, and give you peace, and give you peace forever. The Lord be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace, and give you peace, and give you peace forever. And give you peace, and give you peace, and give you peace forever. You are dismissed.